ask me, why did I see the movie? I'll say, well, because I'm a big fan of the toys. And I'll say, the movie's good and all, but it doesn't do justice to the toys, you know. So she's got this toy, and as I was rehearsing this sermon yesterday, I can hear her pushing the button. And it's got, like, just a few phrases it says over and over and over again. Like, hi, I'm Elsa Arendelle. Want to do snow magic? I'm like, what is this? She's some kind of snow witch, I guess. That's what I'm putting together. I'm not sure what we're teaching our kids here. But there's this one phrase that you push it, and she sings it. And I guess it's a line from one of the songs. And she says, let it go, let it go. That perfect girl is gone. Some of you are singing along, so I know you. And I heard this, and I was like, that's a very interesting thing to say. So I asked Lacey, do you know about this? Like what's up with that? Like, why is she singing that? She told me that this kind of a big theme of this movie is that, you know, she's supposed to be this perfect queen, like everyone wanted her to be, and she'd always wanted to be that and aspired to be that her whole life. And then it kind of all fell apart for her, and she never was able to attain that. And the song was... And I did watch it this morning on YouTube. It's her coming to the realization that that she's not that thing. And she's never going to be that thing. And she's stepping into who she really is. And I thought it was so interesting. Because I've been teaching on identity. The series on Closing the Gap has a lot to do with our identity. And it always seems to resonate with people. And resonate with something that's going on in our culture. Like it's touching on a vein that's running through our culture these days. And you can see, because it's right there in Hollywood, right? It's there. It's something about this idea of who we really are and what we believe about ourselves. It's significant, and it's resonating with people when you talk about it. And so last week we did talk a lot about this idea of our identity and who we think we are. And we discovered the very amazing truth that we are in Christ. See, a lot of Christians believe that Jesus is over here and we're over there, and the point of the Christian life is to work very hard and with a little help from God to get closer and closer and closer, but you never get there, right? And that's the whole point, right? But we learn the truth that you are already in Christ, so wherever He is, you are, and where you are, He is, and He's in you, and there's nothing you can do to add to that, and there's nothing you can do to take away from that. That is the truth. And so then the gap is not the gap between us and Jesus. The gap is between the truth that we are already in Christ and us realizing that truth in our lives. Like us experiencing the reality of that truth and living as though it's real. That's the gap. And so that's the gap you're living if you're living a life that you feel is not an abundant Christian life. If it is a defeated Christian life. If it is a life that does not seem consistent with what the Bible and the New Testament says the average Christian life should be. And so we want to be closing that gap and crossing that gap in this series. And we looked at sort of one of two reasons, and I'll look at the other one today, of why we might be experiencing this gap. And one of the reasons is that we may be letting our feelings drive the train, as you can see in the illustration of the truth train there. We let our feelings or our experience drive the train of our lives. Or we are believing lies about who we are and letting the lies drive the train of our lives. I think the first common mistake that is made by people is to think that, well, if I act a certain way, and if I feel a certain way, therefore I must be that way. That is who I am. So I lose, so therefore I must be a loser. Right now, if I think I'm a loser, we'll always be a loser, right? We have an expression in squash, we say, I play squash, you might not know what that is, but it's a sport. And we say, if you think you've won or you think you've lost, either way you're right. You know? And we make the mistake by thinking we are what we do. But the truth is, we're human beings, we're not human doings. And so actually, the truth of the matter is, we act a certain way because of who we are and who we think we are. Just consider this passage from the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, this whole passage It's about you are light and you need to live according to that light. It's all about living in the truth of the light of who you are. And just looking at verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." It says, because you're light, you should live as children of light. And I think a lot of Christians are focused always on kind of sin management. What do I do or not do? And like that's the purpose, right? It's just that if I do certain things or don't do other things, then God will be pleased with me. And that's what I'm seeking to do, is to please God. But the fact of the matter is, you're already in Christ Jesus. If you're already in Christ Jesus, then you're 100% perfect in God's eyes, because every time He looks at you, He looks at you through the lens of Jesus, and all He sees is Jesus and the perfect, wonderful, stainless life that He lived through for you on your behalf. And if you were to think that you need to do something in order to add to that, you're saying the cross is not enough. You say, I need to add something to that. It wasn't sufficient. The life He lived was not sufficient enough. We need to add to that. My friends, it's sufficient. It's all for you, because religion is about this, right? Religion is about, I got to do these things or not do certain things, and then I will earn appeasement before God and I'll go to a better place when I die. And all the world religions generally have a subtext that teaches this. But the truth of Jesus is that it's not about what we do, but it's about what He has already done for us. Right? It's done. It's accomplished. You can't add to it. Now, the other reason that sometimes we're experiencing this gap is because there is a lie about who we are that we believe, and that is driving our lives. And this is a pitfall we fall into, and we got to keep in mind that for every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. Maybe that's an Alberta expression, but every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. And you go in one ditch, and sometimes you want to avoid it, so you steer hard and you go right into the other one. It's tough to stay on the road. And this is the other ditch. The other ditch is that I believe a lie about myself. And the thing about a lie is that it may be untrue, but if I believe that lie, if I put enough trust in that lie, then it becomes truth for me. And then it actually becomes my reality. I begin to live that out and I say, well, this is who I am and this is how I'm acting. Therefore, it proves that this is who I am. And it's just a cyclical thing and you can't get out of it. It's like a rut, like this ditch that you're stuck in and you can't get out of. This lie that is so firmly implanted in us, it can what Grant Mullin calls a stronghold. And a stronghold really is a lie that you have agreed with so many times that it has now become a stronghold. And this is how he describes it. Dr. Grant Mullin actually lives in Ontario here. And he says, a stronghold is a lie that you have continually agreed to. And this word stronghold is actually a biblical word, and it comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's in the Bible in the New Testament. And this is what it says. For though we lived in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So in this passage, the Bible defines strongholds as agreements, arguments and pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. In other words, they're lies, because God's word is objective truth, and anything contrary to that is a lie. And it says we have power to demolish those lies. So here are kind of the two things here. These are the two ways that we experience the gap in our lives. And on the one hand, we need to change our identity by being informed that we are not what we do, we are who we are. And also, too, we need to demolish the lies, if there are any lies, that we are believing about ourselves. And then we need to replace those lies with the truth. So these are the two things we need to do here in order to get at our lies. And there's all kinds of lies that we can believe. And everyone believes lies, and sometimes they're all a little different. You know, Lacey shared a lie that she was believing about friendship and all that stuff. And they're going to be a little different for everyone. But what I'm really want to focus on today are the lies we believe about who we are. In other words, our identity lies. Because our identity lies are so important. Because our what we think about ourselves, that's the core, that's the foundational belief, and we tend to build on top of that the other things we believe about ourselves. It's kind of like a building, you know. If you've ever experienced the building of a building on an ongoing basis, maybe there's a building that's being erected on your way to work, and every day, you know, you drive past it for like a year or two, and you see the building site, and it doesn't look like anything's really happening or anything's progressing, and you're thinking, like, what are they doing? And all of a sudden, overnight, like, it seems like a building just gets erected, and you're like, where'd that come from? And you realize it's because they were working all the time on the foundation, right? Because the foundation is the most important thing, it's the most expensive part, it's the hardest part, and if you get the foundation wrong, the rest of the building's going to be faulty, right? So if the foundation is faulty, then when, you know, over time, when there's stress or there's some kind of weather or a bad season, then the rest of the building is going to collapse. There's going to be some issue with it. Like, I can remember a few years ago, I was in Vegas with Lacey and some of my friends, and there was this building on the strip, and it was this huge building, but it looked vacant. And so we asked about it, and people were saying that it was this big hotel resort. It wasn't a small building. It was this huge hotel resort, multi-million of dollars. But what had happened is that near the completion date, they realized that they hadn't used enough rebar in the foundation. The foundation wasn't strong enough, and so they were going to have to demolish the entire thing. See, the foundation is so important, my friends. And what we believe about who we are, that is our foundation, the foundation of our beliefs, and we build our worldview sort of on top of that, right? And so you need to get that right. And there's all kinds of different identity lies that we tell ourselves, because we're all unique creatures. We all have different personalities, different family backgrounds and upbringings and experiences and that kind of stuff. But generally, there's three categories of identity lies. There's the lies of performance, the lies of people-pleasing, and the lies of control. And so I want to give you an example of just what this might look like. Let's say you struggle with the identity lie of performance. You're going to believe that your self-worth is based on your performance. It's based on what you achieve and your accomplishments. So I'm only as good as what I produce. That's what you believe. And so if you're a guy, most likely your career is very important to you, right? And if your work is going well, if you're achieving lots, if you have a high position, you feel good about yourself. But if you have a bad, you know, quarter, then you feel bad. You're having a bad day at work, you're having a bad day, right? If you're a mother, it's probably your children. And you have a lot of self-worth tied up in how well your children do. You know, are they following the Lord, or are they growing up well-adjusted, and do they have opportunities and that kind of stuff? And so, if your kids are having a bad day, you know, you're having a bad day. You know, and husbands, sometimes, you know, you come home and, you know, your wife's just falling apart because the kids aren't doing well, and you're like, well, how does that affect us? We can still have a good day. I feel fine, you know, because my identity is not tied up in that, right? Because it's not where my performance is located, right? But for women, sometimes if they're moms, you know, kids are like, it's like your career, right? It's your calling. So in these cases, your identity is based on something other than God's love, right? And so it's a shaky, faulty foundation. But if it's based on God's love, that's the most solid thing, right? Because God's love is unchanging. What Jesus did on the cross was totally perfect, and it's accomplished, and it's done. And so if you build on that, nothing can shake you. It's the strongest foundation. You have the most confidence you'll ever need coming from that. But if it's built on something else, if that thing is threatened, then guess what? The rest of your life becomes threatened. And if it gets destroyed, if you lose your job or your kids go to jail, geez, you'll just fall into a spiral of depression, won't you? Your whole life will fall apart. And so we want to look at the solution. And the solution is we have to deconstruct these lies, right? And it's always difficult to deconstruct a foundation because it's strong. It's been built up over time, right, over many layers. So you got to take big jackhammers to these lies. And when you break them down, you also have to replace them because you need something to base the rest of the life you're building on top of, right? So you can't just demolish it and leave it a hole. You have to replace it. And you got to replace it with the truth of God's Word because that's the truth about who you are, right? The truth of the Bible, if it's objective truth, and if it's written by the one who created us, he probably knows a little thing or two about who we are, right? So you got to stand on that. Some of those truths came out in that video we saw, right? And those are all from the Bible. You don't have to go far to find them. They're in there. So the question is then, how do we do this? Deconstruct and reconstruct. Well, I think you need to know yourself and you need to know God very, very well. David Benner, very well-known Canadian Christian psychologist, he said, Christian spirituality involves a transformation of the self that occurs only when God and self are both deeply known. You have to know God and yourself very deeply, my friends. Very, very deeply. And sometimes the church does a really good job at helping you know God, but not a very good job at helping you to know yourself. And that's important, because if you know God well, but you don't know anything about yourself or how He relates to you personally, our knowledge about God is kind of external. It's nebulous. It's out there somewhere, kind of unattainable. He's up there. His truths are very general. God loves me, yeah, but He loves everyone, so I'm just a part of all that, right? We can't access it. And so we end up knowing a lot about God, but we don't know God, right? But when we start to know ourselves and how His story interjects with our story personally, then we begin to internalize those truths, right? And they become real to us, and we begin to have a sense of intimacy with Him and a relationship with Him, where we don't just know about God, but we really feel we know Him, right? And that's the key, and that's when He can come in and heal you and speak specific truths into your life. Now, in order to do this, of course, you need to develop a high level of self-awareness. You need to have that. Dr. Rob Reimer says, you will never rise above your level of self-awareness. And I so believe that to be true. You never rise above your level of self-awareness. The Bible talks about this principle of self-awareness as bringing it into the light. And we read about this very clearly in 1 John chapter 1. And I love this scripture. I go to it often. It's been very formative in my life. And we'll get there in a second. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. This is the word of the Lord. The first step to breaking your identity lies, you got to bring them into the light, right? Because a lie only has power in the darkness, right? But as soon as you shed light on it, all of a sudden now you can deal with it and God can deal with it. And you can deal with it through God and with God, right? You can't deal with it in the darkness. If you don't know what your identity lies, then it has power, right? You can't deal with it unless you know what it is. So let the light of Jesus shine on it. And one of the ways you can identify this and practically how you can shed light on it is prayer. You know, God knows these things. He loves to tell you if you ask Him. He can prayer can be two ways, and He can speak to you and help you identify your lies. Two, His Word. His Word is full of truths. And even identify some lies in there. So being in the Word and memorizing the Word and understanding what His Word says can be very helpful. Thirdly, you got to ask other people too. People you know and trust, they can help you identify this. And when you discover this stuff, you got to write it down. Because you're going to forget it. I never journaled very much until I began this journey towards breaking down my identity lies. Then I started writing things down because I needed to know so I could deal with it and I could go back later and unpack that kind of stuff. So if God reveals something to you or someone else reveals something to you, gives you a piece of the puzzle, you need to write that down and keep it. Now, as you uncover the lies about who you think you are, at the same time, you're going to have to be rediscovering and discovering the truth about what God says about who you are, right, and how He made you. You have to keep doing that time and time again. I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. Is it, do you demolish the lies first or establish the truth? I think they work together in tandem, like the two strokes of a two-stroke engine. You know, you demolish the lies, you reaffirm the truth. Demolish the lies, reaffirm the truth. I like how Lacey said, you know, he demolished the lies under my feet. He stomped them out. You demolish them, but then you build yourself up with the truth. For every lie, there's an opposite and equal truth in God's word for you about who you are. So you need to go that and to find that. And so I'm just going to, right now, just reveal to you some of these truths of Scripture. This isn't an exhaustive list, but it is a list that's often used. I took a lot from Neil Anderson on this. I keep forgetting, but I want to bring some books here and have them and show you some books where you can go deeper with this. And I keep forgetting, but maybe next week I will. And some of Neil Anderson's stuff is good. I've heard some of you talk about you've read his stuff, and I draw a little bit from that. That's a good resource. Rob Reimer's stuff on soul care is really good as well. And Dave Benner's book, Finding Your True Self, anyways, I'll bring them later. But here's some truths about who you are in Christ Jesus. We're going to put them up on the PowerPoint, and I'm going to read them out to you. And I encourage you, since this is God's truth about who you are, I encourage you to just receive these into your soul. You know, don't just keep them in your mind. Allow them to wash over you and internalize these truths, because this is the truth about who God says you are. I am God's child. Internalize that. Receive that. I am Christ's friend. I've been justified. I'm united with the Lord and one with Him in spirit. I've been bought with a price, and I belong to God. I'm a member of Christ's body. I am a saint. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured that all things work out for good. I am free from any condemning charges against me. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am the salt and the light of the earth. I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of His life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. And I am God's temple. You are God's temple, my friends. This, my friends, is exactly how God sees you in Christ Jesus. Okay, you see a theme here. If you do not believe any of these things, then you just lack discernment, my friends, and you would be wrong. This is the truth about who you are. And I realize I'm somewhat speaking to the choir here, that this is true for you if you are a follower of Jesus. And it would be silly for me to assume that everyone here is a follower of Jesus who has made a commitment to Him as their Lord and Savior. But even if you don't believe in this Jesus person and all this Bible stuff, don't you want that to be true? Wouldn't you? Don't you want this stuff to be true for you? Isn't that amazing? And that's all for you if Christ Jesus is your Lord. And so if you haven't already made that commitment to Him, I would so encourage you to do so, because it's so very amazing. And this will become your reality, my friends. So let's go back to our example that we talked about, this person who had a performance-based identity lie. Okay, I just want to unpack this a little bit so you can see how might all of this work. So let's say this person believes they're only as good as that which they produce, okay? And so they've been living under this lie for quite a while, this performance lie. But all of a sudden, because of Keith's wonderful sermon series or some other way, they discovered that that's a lie, right? And that God loves them no matter what, and it doesn't matter about their performance, right? And so they replace that lie that they're only as good as who they are to they are totally valuable to God just because He made them and loves them, okay? So they begin to replace that lie with the truth. And let's say every time this person gets into an unfamiliar situation, an uncomfortable setting, we all have those. Maybe we go to an office dinner party with our spouse or something. We don't know anybody, and it's a new setting. We feel uncomfortable, we feel vulnerable. When you feel vulnerable, you don't feel safe, and so you go usually to your identity lies. So usually this person would always go to their performance, right? And they would always be looking for ways to steer the conversation to what it is that they do for a living or how awesome their children are and all the things that they've accomplished. But all of a sudden, they've started to deconstruct this, and they've made a choice that they're not going to go to that lie, but there's a different truth, and that's unchanging. And all of a sudden, they realize that for the first time in their lives, in a conversation with a stranger, they're totally free. They're free to really listen to that person and to love that person, because they're not busy trying to prop themselves up, right? on this very weak and false identity. They're not trying to create this safe space about something that they believe about themselves, but really isn't that true. Now they're totally secure and totally safe to just be present with this person and to love that person. And they find it's just a liberating experience. And my friends, this is just one example, but I think it's a very real example. It's an example I've experienced when you begin to demolish the lies and establish the truth of who God says you are. Now, I can't say, I already did that part. So let's turn to some practical advice about how we go about doing this, right? I'll give you some practical steps. And if you're wondering, we record these sermons. They're on the website, as well in your bulletins. There should be sermon summaries, and this lists the steps. Because I'm encouraging you that if you've decided to come on this journey with me, as we go on this journey together of closing the gap, that these are tools that you can use the other 6 days of the week. You know, and we're going to be talking more about these lies and unpacking them a little bit more next week, and I'll be sharing some of my personal story. But I encourage you to walk through these and implement these steps in your life. And so one of the first things you can do is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the lies and to reveal the truth. Human beings, there's something about us, we're amazing self-deceivers, aren't we? We're amazing self-deceivers. And often we can't see our own lies. But God, He's super smart. He sees everything, right? Theology 101, God knows everything. He loves to tell us. And so if you just go to Him and ask Him, He will show you these lies that maybe subconsciously you've been glossing over or you haven't been able to see. And now, although we're good self-deceivers, another thing is that we're really good at identifying other people's flaws and lies. And so what may be helpful is you just ask other people. But be careful with this one, because Satan loves to condemn and reinforce other lies, and people may be out to hurt you, and this is where new lies can be birthed. So make sure it's someone you know loves you and totally trusts you, like a friend. They know you well, and they want the best for you. Ask these people, and next week we'll talk about specific questions and things you can do to explore that. But ask other people, and they may give you insight as to your identity lies. And furthermore, just write it down, right? If you discover something, write down that truth. Keep a document somewhere with this. If God says something to you, you don't want to forget this stuff. And if you're like me, you have the memory of a goldfish. You know, you tell me 3 seconds later, I've forgotten it. Or, you know, if God tells me something, it's the same thing. You know, I just forget it right away. So I got to write this stuff down. Maybe you do too. And lastly, just you got to renew your mind and your thoughts. Right, you have the power, it says in that Corinthians passage we looked at, you have the power to demolish these lies and establish the truth. So if you ever identify the lie, if God is gracious enough to show you that there is a lie, you can just call it what it is. Like Lacey said, that she identified the lie was creeping back in. That's the grace of God showing you, shining light on it. You call it what it is, you call it the lie, you denounce it, and you reestablish the truth. Some of you have inner voices. I have an inner voice. We all have inner voices. Sometimes they say things to us, and sometimes the lies come out in this, right? You know, you make a mistake, and your mind says, oh, you're so stupid. Oh, you're an idiot, you know. And just right there, you can just, oh, hey, whoa, wait a minute. Is that true? That's not true. And that gives you an indication, too. Do I think I'm stupid? And where does that come from? And bring that and allow yourself to unpack that and work through that and reestablish the truth of God. I'm not an idiot. I'm not an idiot at all. That's not how God sees me. It's not what He thinks, right? And if you don't happen to know at the particular moment what the truth of the Bible is that replaces that lie, that's okay. And I want to give you just a general truth you can state. It's a very good tool that kind of is broad and kind of appeals to all identity lies. I'm going to put it on the PowerPoint here. And it basically says, the issue of my value was settled at the cross. So that's just something you can repeat to yourself. The issue of my value was settled at the cross. Oh, you're a loser. No. The issue of my value was settled at the cross, and I'm totally valuable in Christ Jesus because of what He's done. Just unpack that and just say that again. It's a good general truth for you. Now, sometimes these thoughts and lies, they can seem very, very powerful. Sometimes too powerful to overcome. Like, we do not have the strength to renew this. It's coming from maybe, like, it feels like an outside force. My friends, it can be from the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is very real and very present, and we know that. And it can be good and bad. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the evil one. And he comes, and he's the father of lies, and he wants to speak lies to you and falsely condemn you and have you believe these things, right? And when that comes, renewing your mind isn't the best thing. In this case, just a prayer is important. And I say it's important to pray aloud in this case, because unlike the Holy Spirit, the evil one can't read your thoughts. So you can just say a simple prayer out loud. I'll give you an example of what that might sound like. It doesn't have to be long, it can be short. Something along the lines of, I bring the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ against every evil power that's coming against me. I cut them off, and I bind them and banish them from me now in the mighty name of Jesus. Something like that. Simple. Just cut it off, take your authority, shoo them away, and it's done. Because you have authority in Christ Jesus to do that, for he conquered all powers on the cross. And so there you have it. Those are the number of ways, practical ways, that you can go about reorienting your identity. I so encourage you to do that. And as we close, I just want to do a short exercise to help you already start to do this. Because if you're like me, you know, as soon as the lights come up, I start thinking about the weather and what I'm going to eat for lunch. So I want to give you an opportunity, even right now, you know, to begin that. And so I'm going to have us just quiet our hearts and invite the Holy Spirit to come and just speak to us. Tell us about what lies we're believing and what truths he wants to establish. And it may be helpful just to state some of the ways that we can hear him, in case you're not familiar with listening to God. You know, you can hear him through your feelings. He can speak to your emotions. He can put thoughts into your mind. He speaks to your thoughts, your imaginations. He can speak physically to you like a sensation. He can speak through his word, bringing to mind a scripture. Sometimes, you know, it's a whisper. And sometimes you just know. Like, you know, you just know what it is. And so he speaks right to that. And you got to know that if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, the Spirit of Christ, of the living Christ, lives in you, and he can speak to you in a number of ways. And you can identify what that is because the sheep hear his voice and they follow him because they know him, right? So I'm going to just lead us in a prayer right now. And if he says something to you, if he speaks to you, I encourage you, when we're done praying, for you just to write that down or just keep that in your heart or something so you don't forget what that is. So let's pray together. Oh, Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this place right now. We invite you to speak to us because we know that you love us. And a God who died for us is a God who can be trusted. And we can trust your words. We bind Satan from speaking any lies to us right now that may deter us from the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. And so, God, we come before you right now and we ask you, for myself personally, Lord, tell me, what identity lie am I believing? Lord Jesus, we thank you for being gracious and revealing that lie to us. Oh Lord, we'd ask you right now, would you also reveal to us the truth about who we are that replaces that lie? I thank you for the truth, Jesus, that you spoke to me. And we just commit now, Lord. We commit to demolishing that lie. And in Jesus' name, we demolish it right now. We trample it under your feet. We choose to cut it off and break it. And we replace that lie with the truth that you spoke to us, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Amen.